the messianic hope. Hope was, as my obnoxious son pointed out with this first Sunday of Advent, the hope is the characteristic of this season and emphasized this Sunday. The mood, our general mood, should be one of hopeful preparation. And the banner is watch. We are watching for the hope of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What do you think of when you hear that word, hope? Unfortunately, we Americans think everything started with the English language. And so, you know, our dictionaries, our culture says that hoping is to cherish a desire, something we want, with anticipation, to want something to happen or to be true. Very me-centered. You know, I hope I win the lottery. You know, it's just something that's probably not going to happen. Well, mathematically, I think I have a good chance with the lottery. Actually, did you know that that's a tax on people that don't know math? But biblically, and in the old, you know, when we actually spoke the King's English, right, Charles? The real English, not American. But the hope is to trust in, or to wait for, to look for, desire something or someone, to expect something beneficial in the future. It's as a context or a connotation of certainty. We know it's going to happen. And so hope should be central, that kind of hope, a certainty, knowing that we are looking for something or someone. But that hope should be central, the mark of who we are as believers. No matter how bad it gets in this fallen world and how much we suffer, we know that God, that God will one day complete what he has started in our lives and in his creation. So a messianic hope. There are some important Old Testament backgrounds. Hope in the Old Testament especially is tied to the character of God and his mighty acts delivering his people. He has been faithful in the past, and so we can be confident that he will be faithful in the future. As Isaiah said, "And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Isaiah 25:9. So the psalm we read as part of the Advent reading, Psalm 80, it described God as a shepherd, which has some covenant ramifications that, you know, the shepherd of God's people, he has a covenant love and responsibility to his people, but he also disciplines him, doesn't he? We have that today. We don't sometimes like that. But that psalm talked about all those enemies that were around. We have enemies around us today, but the psalmist stands up praising God for his restoration. He will restore his people and salvation. So we have that kind of hope. The Old Testament reading, Isaiah 64, was a prayer for deliverance. And if you remember some of the language, you know, mountains smoking and earthquakes, a lot of the signs, like we're at Mount Sinai, God will deliver in his mighty acts. But we need to recognize our unrighteousness. Sin is worse than we think it is, isn't it? So we recognize we are sinners, but a Father, a Heavenly Father, we are your people. You know, we need to fess up to what we know we are. But God, you're our Father. We are your people. Please don't, you know, take care of your people. So that's sort of the background. But then in the New Testament, it becomes a reality. Ultimately, the hope of God's people in the Old Testament has found fulfillment in what God has done in Christ. The writer to Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And as Paul said, the Apostle Paul said in his defense before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, and now I stand, you know, Paul says, I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. So that promise, that covenant, God's people, Paul was hanging on to, you know, right before he went to Rome. And our reading in 1 Corinthians, you know, once again, Paul. And if you noticed, Christ, just in those few short verses, Christ was mentioned 6 times, very Jesus-centered. So that past grace, our salvation, hopefully we can all look back with confidence in the security of our salvation. And we give thanks for his revelation in the sense of, Paul talked about his words, his utterances, his knowledge. But that looks forward to his future grace, what we would call big term glorification. You know, what God has started in the past, we have a hope, a certainty, not a, I hope God doesn't, you know, I hope, which, by the way, that's what Muslims believe. They never know if they're in. We have a certainty knowing that God's, that we are going to spend eternity with God. And so the revelation is God's word. God reveals himself to us. One day the revelation, that's just the Greek word apocalypse, the last book of the Bible, but revelation, the coming of Christ, you know, and when we spend eternity in heaven. And it, he says, God is faithful. Do we really believe that? It's true, but do we believe God is faithful? And so he used words like fellowship. We are blameless, and we will be confirmed at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter how bad it gets here, one day we know that we will be confirmed in Christ, made secure. That gives me great biblical hope, not lottery hope. Although I hope to win that too. And then finally, the other reading was the Olivet Discourse in Mark 13. So Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, is teaching his Jewish disciples. And he's talking about signs and when are they going to happen? When will this occur? The disciples wanted to know. And Jesus then talks about that second coming, the second advent. Christmas is the first advent, when Jesus came, Bethlehem, all that, you know, that we are celebrating this time of year. But Jesus is coming again. So we are to, Jesus said, watch. So that's that banner over there. We are to watch because we have not only a hope, but a messianic hope. And here, let me read you a quote from a guy named J.M. Edwards. This eschatological, so end times, this last time, hope expressed itself as a conviction that all of history was in God's hands. Do we believe that? Sometimes in the church, we forget that. I think that God is behind, has everything in his hands. All of history was in God's hands, and that God would fulfill his promise to establish David's throne forever. That's the Davidic covenant back in 2 Samuel. Jesus is the rightful heir to reign on earth. And spoiler alert, he will reign on earth. And so that gives me hope. I mean, once again, look at, you know, everything that goes on in the world. I just shake my head. You can get depressed sometimes. Sometimes I think we get a little too invested in that. We take our eyes off God and his promises And we are just, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? That's not a biblical hope. And by the way, that type of hope should have an impact on our lives now. See, that's what sometimes they, you know, we want our ears tickled with prophecy. Well, that's great, but what is that doing for you right now? How do we apply that future event that is coming? But how do we apply that now? 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Present tense now, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So that's, you know, some of the little bumper stickers we sometimes, you know, that, well, I was saved 40 years ago, but there are ramifications now. What are we living like the kings and queens we are here on earth? So God's message has always been consistent. His nature, especially in the Old Testament, and his word, God's word. So thank you to you folks that you have great patience with, you know, studying God's word. And God, so God's faithfulness to his people in the Old Testament looks forward to that, you know, the first coming and then the second coming, and which has an impact on our lives now, and looking forward to that return. Psalm 137 and 8, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So I hope we, you know, this is true with so much. We in the church, God's people, need to define things the way God does, not the way your favorite podcaster does. I'm sure he's a great podcaster. The podcasts I listen to are much better than the ones you listen to. But those guys don't know the reality of what, you know, important words like this. So the secular view of hoping, oh, I hope it's true. I hope it's true. We are to trust in, wait for, look for, desire something or someone, or expect something beneficial in the future. Do you? You know, that's King Jesus, our messianic hope. He came 2,000 years ago. I can guarantee he's coming again. So we hope in our Messiah and his return. And by the way, that hope, that kind of hope, is grounded in a personal relationship with God whom we trust. So if you're not a Christian, I hope you win the lottery, because you don't have that type of biblical hope. So we are blessed because of the messianic hope. As that song says, I know who holds tomorrow. Isn't that comforting? That's a hope we can hang on to. And it's all for God's glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Advent and just the joyous time as we look to that first coming of our Savior and the ramifications for our lives and how that just makes our lives worth living today. And we have a hope and expectation of your history pre-written about the second coming of Jesus. Thank you. Help us to be a holy people, desirous of good works for the glory of your name. In that precious name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.